Welcome to the Clock and Talk podcast. How are you going, lads?
Good, thank you.
Good, great.
So we've got Tony, Carl and Savvy with us today. Also, guys, don't forget to subscribe at CastBox. We just launched there, so you can subscribe to our podcast there, guys. Okay, let's get into it. So yeah. We've got two players loaned out, Carl Jenkins. What do we think here, boys?
It was just a case of getting him off the wage bill, really. He could have had a move in January to Crystal Palace, which would have suited him down to the ground. It meant he stayed in the Premier League and obviously stayed in London as well. He turned that down due to money, which is quite surprising. And then now, obviously, he's gone out to a Championship club, which definitely is not going to further his career, but he's on the same money because it's only a loan. So it seems like he's chose money over football, which is quite surprising because he seems like quite a down-to-earth kid. But, hey, we don't know them personally, do we?
Do you? Just on that, Tony, what do you know roughly what he was on, mate?
It's between 45 and 60.
Okay. What's your thoughts, Carl?
I don't know. I don't think it was more Jenkinson's choice. I think it was desperation move by Wenger. The fact that he included Jenkinson and Bramall in that loan move to Birmingham. I think it's, it's all the pressure of getting players off the books, the wage bills and all that to get some new players in. So, as I said, screams desperation from Wenger trying to get players that he isn't going to use this season, except in maybe a round two League Cup game off the books.
Yeah, just on Bramall, I don't know a lot about him. We bought him in last January, was it? What do we know what he was on?
Pocket change, $5,000, give or take.
Bugger all. What are you thinking, Savvy? What's your thoughts on this couple of players being loaned out?
Yeah, my thoughts are, I think it's board pressurizing Wenger to move the players out, to get them off the wage bill. And I think Cohen Bramall is also, I never thought he'll be loaned out because he was recently promoted to the first team squad. And it's desperation from Wenger. I think board is pressurizing him to move players out of the wage bill.
It's not really enough to get the wage bill down, is it?
I think, it could be we are looking for players to get in. So maybe that could be another reason.
Yeah. So we've still got Lucas Perez to go. Tony, what's happening there, mate?
Yeah. I mean, Arsenal, I think he'll go within the next 3 days, to be honest. Arsenal have just, whether they've overvalued players or they've decided on the valuation and stuck to it and no one wants to seem to pay them amounts. It's not, maybe they haven't overvalued. I mean, we've sold Gabriel for 10 million and everyone's moaning it's not enough. But when Arsenal tried to sell players that they're at what we deem to be the value, it's no one's biting. So as I said the same last week, I think he'll end up back at Deportivo, but there's not much money in the lower regions of Spanish football outside the big three or four, so they ain't going to pay the 15-odd million that we want. I think we'll end up getting between 10 and 12 for him some point this week, if I'm honest. I mean, we're obviously very keen to deal with Newcastle because we know of the Premier League money, but I can't see that happening. I said I think he'll be back at Deportivo or someone in Spain, but probably Deportivo by the end of the week.
Yeah. What about you, Carl? You think that'll be where he'll head?
I'm just a bit more surprised that maybe a couple more teams in the Premier League, a bit higher up the table than the likes of Newcastle, actually haven't bitten off Wenger's hand for an offer. I mean, 10 million is a great offer for a player that barely got any time last season, but made the most out of the minutes he played. You know, he scored some great goals for us. He scored a hat-trick in the Champions League, you know. I just don't understand why he hasn't gone yet. Obviously, part of it is due to the fact that, you know, we're kind of valuing him too much for the likes of teams that are going for him, like Deportivo, who, as Tony said, hasn't got a lot of money. But, I'm just confused as to how he hasn't gone yet.
Yeah, personally, I thought Newcastle would be perfect for him. I think they're perfect for each other. Newcastle needs a Lucas Perez, and like I say, 10 million's, it's a pretty good buy.
You'll find the price probably wouldn't have been 10 million to the Premier League. Like this window, there's been a Premier League price and a non-Premier League price, and they are two very different prices, even on the same player.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, Debuchy. He's another one that's got to go, I suppose.
I think hardly played in 2 years.
He's still here.
Yeah.
What do you think on him, Savvy?
Yeah, I think Wenger was desperate to get him out last season too. And I still can't see him moving out right now. I don't think there is some genuine interest. His wages are too high. I don't think anyone would pay him 70k because he hasn't played for, I think, 3 years now. And there are injury problems with him. So I don't see him. I think there will be another loan move for him. Probably to France somewhere.
I can ruin
that notion. I'd be amazed if there's a loan move because Arsenal are willing to let him go for nothing. So it doesn't make sense for anyone to take him on loan. I'd be quite surprised if he doesn't end up at like a Bordeaux or a Marseille. Because as I said, Arsenal are willing to let him go for free just to get him off the wage bill. They won't take the kind of wages he's on, but with them getting on a free, obviously they're saving on a transfer fee. So it'll be a half decent sized sign on fee, which won't cover the wages, but obviously it's a lump sum up front. So it might be on 45k a week instead of 70, but get half a million up front. I mean, obviously, it's not too bad a life.
That makes sense.
I've seen people talking about, you know, would you give up a good wage to go and play football for half a wage somewhere else? If you're actually a footballer, me personally, I would. Like, you'd want to play football, wouldn't you? You wouldn't want to be sitting on the bench or, you know, not even getting a run.
We've spoke about before. I know quite a few footballers and speak to them quite a lot. And what we don't realise from the outside, or what we realise but we don't appreciate, it's a very short career. It's one of the only jobs I can think of where you've got 15 years max. And obviously, a few of them years are getting up to the top level. And at the end, you're going to drop off the top level. So a lot of them see it as they've got to secure not only their life, they've got a missus that's used to a certain lifestyle. They've probably got a couple of kids who are, again, used to a certain lifestyle. So while, say, 30 grand a week is obviously unbelievable, if you've got to support four people on that and you're not earning past your 33rd birthday, for example, it could run out because of the lifestyle they've got accustomed to. So a lot of them would prefer to stay on higher money because they're thinking long term for their family and whatnot. And I mean, it's kind of sensible. It's how we would think. But obviously, as football fans, we think, why would you not go and want to do your job somewhere? But to be honest, if someone paid me to stay at home and not do my job, I'd be all over it.
Not a bad life, is it? You got anything to add, Carl, on Debuchy?
I 100% agree with what was said there. I mean, yeah, you've got to think about, you know, your family, different things. And obviously, if you're being paid to be at the top club just to, you know, rot on the bench for about 70k, I'd bite your hand off. Like, it's such a good life to have. I mean, you've gone past the thought, maybe Debuchy's maybe gone past the thought of, oh, I haven't been in the first team for a few years. You know, I'm starting to become quite, you know, a bit of a ghost at the football club, still being paid. You've gone past your prime years. And, I wouldn't go for half the wage just to try and revive my career for like 1 or 2 years max. That'd be crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Any other players? Look, there's lots of speculation and talks about the Ox going to Chelsea. A couple of people have mentioned Walcott needs to go. What's your thoughts, lad? Is there any other players that, you know, get this wage bill down a bit and we can bring in some players?
If I do a little quick run through, Chambers we're actively trying to get rid of, but our valuation is very different from the teams that are trying to buy him. Who was the other one I was thinking of? Gibbs. So there's been reports today he's been linked with Turkey, and apparently Galatasaray in Turkey, and his agents apparently flown out. I'd be very surprised. English players don't tend to go abroad, and also being black in the continent, racism is more accepted. I'm not saying it's allowed, but it happens more often. So I'd be very surprised with that. Personally, I'd keep him, but that's another debate. There's also been rumours about Mustafi. I've done a voice piece on it the other day. Yeah. With transfers, if you hear about an offer, they've been given the go-ahead by the player to say, if this offer gets accepted, I will come. They wouldn't waste their time making an offer. So obviously we heard of an Inter Milan offer that got rejected immediately. And then now there's rumours coming out that Mustafi said he's unhappy, which all ties in together. Yeah. I don't think he will go, but it could be a case of if he does throw his toys out the pram, there could be an issue there.
Right, Alan. Well, let's just move on, digress a bit there with the, you know, you talk about Mustafi. Stoke v Arsenal, we've got to talk about it. Mustafi was played well out of position. We'll start with you, Tony, if you had any more to add on what you said after the game.
I disagree. I don't think he was played out of position. I think he's just not very good. Like, he played in a back three as a centre-back. He is a centre-back. I don't know where... I mean, you could argue that he should have played in the middle of the three, and he should have done, but he's kind of a liability there because he always wants to come out with the ball, and that middle of the three defenders is the one that sits. It's why Mertesacker does that role so well, because he has no intentions of going forward because he knows he can't get back. So he stays in the middle, passes it to either of the wing-backs or either of the centre-backs to his side, and that's his job done, whereas Mustafi sees himself as some kind of creative defender and tries to play through balls every time he's got the ball, which kills you in the middle of a three. So I think for his own sake, you have to play him either side of one of the middle, and that's where he played. I don't really see it as he was played out of position. I don't think he was bad. I'm not digging him out. I don't think he really done anything wrong. I don't see him as played out of position. I just see him as he's just Mustafi. That's what he does.
Just Mustafi, and that's about as good as we're going to get. We discussed it last week, you know. I said, was it a panic buy? I think you mentioned that it was probably we overpaid for him. So,
oh, there's no doubt about that. He's decent. He's an average defender. That's what he is. 15, 20 million would have probably been about the right price for me. But as I said, we went through this last week, so there's no point going through it.
Carl, I'll mention to you. We're talking Stoke Arsenal. I'm looking at some stats. 18 shots on target. 18 shots in total, sorry. 9 on... 6 on target. What's your thoughts here, mate? On the game.
Where do I start? It was very frustrating. Very, very frustrating. We know that Stoke are a team that, you know, they like to sit back. They like to park the bus a bit. Frustrate the bigger teams. And then they get a couple of chances and sometimes they, you know, they pop them in, sometimes they don't. But it wasn't that bad of a game for us. It's just that we couldn't finish our dinner, so to speak. You know, we've got players like Welbeck on the pitch. To be honest, since that first season, after a couple of injuries, I don't rate him. I don't think he should be coming near the first team. In pre-season, yeah, he was good. He was, he was showing... You know, he was giving vitality to the team, but now it's kind of holding down the attack. You give chances to Welbeck instead of Lacazette. You take Lacazette off at the end of the game instead of Welbeck. I don't know. Is this a kind of situation that we had with Ramsey where Wenger, you know, treated him like the golden boy, so kept him on, you know, literally every game?
I'm not a big fan of Welbeck myself. I watched for the first half. He looked to be running around like a headless chook, and then the second half, he just stood there like a bloody statue. And I'm like, for fuck's sake, man! You guys might disagree, but that's just the way I seen it on the TV.
Not really to do with Welbeck, because I've aired my thoughts on him. People are criticising Wenger for taking Lacazette off or criticising just for Lacazette coming off in general. I was literally in row 12 behind the goal we was attacking, and I don't know if I can swear on here, so I'll say he was absolutely knackered. He couldn't breathe. Like, he had to come off. Like, he wasn't... I mean, he'd been kicked all day by Shawcross. He'd been running from side to side like a bit of a nutcase, really. There was no way Lacazette could stay on that pitch. He was gone. Like,
he'd had enough.
Every time he was off the ball, so you might not have seen it on TV, every time he was off the ball, he was like on his haunches, on his knees, like trying somehow to get air into his body.
Yeah, okay. Welcome to the Premier League, I suppose.
It's not he's unfit, and as I said, no one wants Ryan Shawcross kicking you for 80 minutes either.
Yeah, true. Savvy, what's your take on it, mate?
Yeah, I think first of all, when I saw the lineup, players are playing out of position. I think that's management's mistake solely, and we struggled there. And Hector Bellerin was at left wing back. What is he doing there? I just didn't understand that move by Wenger. And then Monreal is at the center of the defense. I don't think he's a right-footed player at all. And you're putting him a left back at the center of the defense. That's, I think, committing suicide. And I know we were not that bad defensively, but still, our shape wasn't that good. And then Xhaka, I think, I don't understand what he did there. He has already costed us a few goals, and we are just two games into the season. And I think we need a central midfielder very badly, or bring Wilshere up. And I think that position really needs some strengthening. And then our finishing, it was really piss poor. Welbeck, he had 3-4 chances where he did nothing. And Hector Bellerin had a great chance where he didn't score.
How he missed that header.
Welbeck header. And then I think a few poor referee decisions also went against us. But I don't think we were really that great in the game. We were really looking poor and really frustrated. The team was looking frustrated. So we really struggled in that game, in my opinion.
You just touched on the referee there. The Lacazette offside, it was a 50-50. Could have gone either way. This time last season, we could have got that, and we would have got... It would have been one all.
Yeah. That was just a chance by a referee. I think he just took a chance and gave it offside.
The one that really stood out to me, and I think, Tony, you mentioned it on your recap, was the penalty on Bellerin. I thought that was one that probably should have been a penalty.
It's one of the worst decisions I've ever seen. Like, there is no... The ball was next to Bellerin's head. So say he's 5'7". He's probably taller than that. But say the ball's at 5'7" and the guy kicks his ankles. How can the ref... He's not going for the ball. He didn't mean it. The player slipped, but it doesn't matter. It's not... A foul doesn't have to be intentional. That's not the rules of football. Mm. The guy slipped. He's taken Bellerin out. It's a penalty. It's so clear. And I even look back, because obviously I saw it at the game when I made that podcast. I hadn't seen it again. But when I went back home and I watched it from a few different angles, and the ref had a perfect line of sight as well. So it's not like someone blocked his view. I would love to speak to the ref and say, why didn't you give that? I would actually love to hear his reasoning.
Yeah, it blew me away, mate. I thought it should have been a clear penalty.
Yeah, it was.
Best players on the field for me was Ramsey and Ozil. I've heard a lot of criticism on Ozil. A lot of people have said that he didn't play a good game. And to me, watching, I thought he tried his bloody hardest, but nobody was running forward, and he's just standing there like a stunned fucking mullet going, who do I pass it to? I think a lot of it come down to, obviously, Welbeck, Lacazette. As Tony said, he was obviously, towards the end was showing unfit there. Well, not unfit, but what was your words again?
Absolutely knackered.
Knackered.
Because I couldn't say he was there. I don't say that.
So I thought Ramsey, I thought he played really well, and Ozil were my two best. Anyone else? Add anything else to the... Your best player on the field.
Were the two best by such a margin. It was outrageous when I was looking at Twitter after. But then I found out that Steven Gerrard criticised Ozil after and said he was a joke and a liability. And I'd done a text piece on Clock and Talk Twitter yesterday. And the amount of people actually agreed with it, that people tend to listen more to football than watch it and don't form their own opinions, which I think is one of the beauties about being at games. I'm not saying I know more about football than people because I go to games, but you have to form your own opinion because you're watching it. You haven't got a commentator telling you what to think. And then, there's been loads of people have done, have had like a bit of a backlash against the Ozil criticism from the other day, and there's been videos showing like every time he touched the ball in the game, and he's literally done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Like, and if someone's moaned that he didn't catch Hesse for the goal when Hesse laid it wide at first, but one, he's not as quick as Hesse anyway, we know that. Two, he's not a defensive midfielder. Why are people moaning he's not tracking him? If we signed Lee Catamol, yeah, he might have tracked him, but you wouldn't get half of what you get from Ozil. It's like, you've got to realise what player you've got. You can't moan at him for not being able to do everything. No one can do everything. If you had Messi and started playing long balls to him, he wouldn't be very good. Like, you've got the player you've got. He can do what he can do. So don't start criticism for stuff that isn't his job.
I read a tweet earlier today, and this is obviously not official. It was somebody just tweeted it out, that he's created 10 chances in 2 games. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's most in the league.
Yeah, I think, well, and like I said, I don't know whether it's confirmed or not, but...
Yeah, no, it is. I don't know about the most, but he has created 10. It was 6 the other day, and that's like, everyone was saying he was awful, and he's always a scapegoat, but everyone's saying, oh, he's a liability. I wish I was that much of a liability, creating 6 chances in 1 game, in a game where your team don't score. What do you want the bloke to do?
Yeah, he can't do much.
Yeah, and 2 of them were clear-cut chances. That Welbeck miss and that Hector Bellerin miss, they were clear-cut chances.
Okay, so strengths, where do we need to add? Tony?
So the back three is still not a back three, it's a bang average centre back and 2 wing backs, one of whom still getting used to the league. Hector Bellerin still needs to go somewhere else. I don't really care where. just somewhere away from Arsenal.
Take the money and run.
One thing I didn't bring up when we were talking about the team, because I forgot, is I know he wants Gibbs out and whatnot, but surely like your vendetta isn't that strong that you can see that Gibbs is a better left wing back than Hector Bellerin. Like, he's left footed, he played left back his whole career. He's actually not a bad player. I don't know where that notion's come from. Gibbs has never let us down. He's not spectacular. So I think with Wenger trying to get people out, he's kind of shot ourselves in the foot, because we end up, as I said, with a right and bang average at best right back playing left wing back, and left backs playing centre back to cover that. It just doesn't make sense. But to be honest, I don't actually think we're bad at the back the other day. But you can see it's still an area for improvement. I think we struggled because Xhaka's had his probably worst game in an Arsenal shirt. I'm a huge Xhaka fan, but literally he done nothing right the other day. Beyond that, as we've kind of alluded to, we're not going to get an upgrade on Welbeck. The job he does, he's very good at. He's just not clinical. He won't be near the first team when Sanchez comes back. And he won't even be first choice sub because Giroud will come up ahead of him. So I think it's just dealing. At the moment, we're managing a circumstance. My grievance is we shouldn't be managing circumstances at the start of the season. You should be ready for the season. We never seem to be. I can't remember the last time we went into a season thinking, like, this is it, this is what we've got for the season. We're always thinking, oh, we need to sign someone before, or at least one person before deadline day. So, yeah, I think there's areas to be improved, but a lot of them are going to be internal. And I think there'll be potentially 2 players in. I think a centre-back, and I think there'll be some form of attacking player like a Draxler or a Lamar, who will not necessarily go straight into the first team, but Sanchez is gone in 12 months. We all pretty much know that. So I think it's preempting his departure, because if we wait until he goes and then try and buy, every club will know we're looking and the fee goes up 20 million just because it's Arsenal.
What about you, Carl?
Well, there was a lot of things that we could improve on from Saturday's game. You know, first, you touch on the defence. What we were saying earlier about Mustafi being on the flanks of the back three. He should be in the centre because he is a centre back by trade. He's not a left back. He's not a right back. He's taller than Monreal, so why is he on the right hand side where he should be in the centre? Secondly, I have a bone to pick with Ramsey and Bellerin. The fact that Bellerin, he leaves his centre back that's behind him. He leaves him high and dry most of the game because he bombs forward too much. And Ramsey, I know that, some of us would have seen that picture on Twitter where Ramsey was playing centre forward in centre forward position while Xhaka was, he was losing the ball for the goal that we conceded. Yeah. Ramsey plays too far up sometimes. And Welbeck, the only highlight of his game was where he bodied a defender. You know, he's not good enough. But yeah, definitely we need a centre back, defensive midfielder, and as you said, like a Draxler or a Lamar type player.
Who do you go for as your centre back?
I don't know, because considering, you know, our appeal with Champions League football isn't there anymore. So, you know, I used to think of getting us, you know, a Koulibaly sort of centre back, tall, strong, fast. But I don't know, maybe Manolas, you know, we were after him a couple of seasons ago. Maybe we'll go for him again. But we definitely need someone there.
Lots of talk about Van Dijk, but I don't think it's going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, same, man.
Savvy, where do we need to add?
I think we need a defensive midfielder very badly, because since I think Alex Song left, we haven't got any shield forward to that back four, and we really need a shield. Our centre backs really need some protection. I think we'll do very good with a proper central defensive midfielder who never bombs forward and who's just sitting over there and protecting the back four. And definitely a centre-back, because I think we are in a centre-back crisis right now. Mertesacker hardly played a game last season. And Koscielny himself admitted that he has some Achilles problem. And Mustafi, as Tony mentioned, is really an average defender. So, who do we have? Rob Holding is a young player. When was the last time a 21-year-old won the league? So, I think centre-back and centre-defensive midfielder are a must. And, yeah, if we could get an Alexis replacement, that would be a bonus for me.
And that brings me to my next question. Chambers, he's sitting around doing nothing. Why doesn't Wenger have faith in any of these defenders? There's Gibbs, Chambers, Tony?
I think, obviously, he knows he wants them out, and if he does need to clear the wage bill as much as reported, he doesn't want to risk any of them getting injured. And then you're stuck with them, and then you can't reduce the wage bill because you can't loan or sell an injured player. Well, you can, but no one will buy or loan an injured player because they're not going to cover his wages while he's crocked.
How many weeks have we had for this, though? It just seems...
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as I said, they wanted to get things done early. All the players that didn't go on tour, apart from Chambers, not so much involved in that because he was obviously on international duty. But all of the players that didn't go on tour, the plan was to get rid of them early. But as I said, the valuations were... I don't even think Arsenal's valuations were too high. There's just there's teams know when other teams need to sell, and that affects the valuations. And also, as I said, there's a price when you're going to England and a price when you're going elsewhere. Mm. And that's all it was. But I mean, I wouldn't say it's a lack of trust. It's just, as I said, with Gibbs and Chambers, it's the fear of getting injured. With the Mertesacker and Mustafi, he couldn't play two players Mertesacker had a bit of a pre-season, but it'd be playing two players that are very short of football in the same team. Would have been, I mean, obviously we've lost, so in hindsight you think, oh, you should have gone for it. But we all said before the game it'd have been too much of a risk to play two players that are potentially short of match fitness. In the same position.
Mm.
So, I mean, I think there was other ways around it to not have to play two fullbacks in the middle. But he obviously chose against it. Like saying Holding short of confidence, well, he's not going to get it sitting in the stands. But
I was gonna mention that. I thought when Savvy mentioned Holding, I thought, well, he's not going to get it sitting on the bench. I see a 21-year-old. Mm. I know we paid... hardly anything for him. What was it again?
£2 million.
He's not going to get confidence. But if we had to pay $20 million, everyone would be saying, well, we should be starting him. Carl, what's your thoughts on Chambers, mate? Does he stay or go?
I think he goes. He's been in this sort of transfer saga all summer. I think it's about time we kind of end it, because if he comes back to the team, you know, it's going to be a weird one. Like, why have you been trying to sell him all this time and then bring him back in at the end of the window? It doesn't make sense.
He did all right last season online.
He did, but as I said, it's this idea of Wenger and the board trying to sell him off to the likes of Crystal Palace, and then you want to bring him in right at the end when you can't sell him. It kind of speaks volumes about the fact that they don't really have that trust in him, that they wanted to sell him but they couldn't. So there you are. You know, you're just going to stay at Arsenal.
Yeah. Savvy, you got any that on Chambers, Mike?
Yeah. I think Wenger doesn't trust him anymore. That's my opinion. The first game of the season, we only had three fit centre backs, Mertesacker, Holding, and Chambers, and he didn't even make the bench. So that shows that Wenger doesn't have Chambers in his plans. So I think he should go, and we should move on and get a player who Wenger trusts.
Mm, okay. Right. Well, we've got a couple of questions that we got through our Twitter feed, and you can follow us @clockend_talk. And I think we've all touched on this one. It come in from Sky. Can we play a CB at CB, please? Not two LBs at CB. I think we all. I think we've pretty much touched on that. If anyone wants to add anything. Glenn says, nowhere near good enough. I'm still trying to see what part of Lacazette was offside. 18 attempts on goal, no goals scored tells the tale.
Yeah. I mean, as we've said with the Lacazette one, it was a guess. He has completely guessed. Whether it was onside or offside depends what freeze frame you look at. I personally think he wasn't. You can't really blame the lino for getting that one wrong. It was a matter of inches. He has to guess because the ball's moved so quick. He's taken a ricochet. But yeah, 18 shots. And the thing is, Butland didn't... I rate Butland. I want Butland as Arsenal's keeper, and I've been saying this for a long time. But he didn't make a save that a normal level keeper wouldn't have made. So it's like we had 18 attempts, 6 on target, whatever it was, but not one of them was you thought, wow. Like sometimes you play a team and their keeper has an inspired day where it seems like nothing's going to go past him. It wasn't that. Like, that didn't happen. But yeah, so that's my views on that. I just don't think we worked the keeper enough. We had some very good chances where the ball didn't go on target. Probably better chances where the ball didn't go on target than the shots we had on target, to be honest.
Should have tested him a bit more. And
yeah, I agree.
Mm. You can answer this one, Carl. Come in from Moe. Okay. We are trying to play a style that no longer suits our players. We don't have enough creativity to do what the style requires. What's your thoughts there, mate?
I don't know. That sounds a bit weird, to be honest, because we have so many technical players in our team. I think the problem is we're playing in such a physical, strong league, you know, that's evolved in its, you know, in its physicality over the past few years, and we're still trying to play too nice. I mean, we come to, you know, the Bet365 stadium on Saturday, and we try and just play around a team that has such a regimented structure when it defends, and you're trying to do, you know, tiki-taka through their defence. It just isn't going to work. You know, I don't think it's less about being creative, because we are creative. It's more about the fact that, you know, we're being too nice to our opponents. We're not being brash enough. That's why, you know, we say about the fact that we need like a defensive midfielder that will hold down, because the two midfielders in the middle were too nice, in my opinion, in terms of they're not going to be aggressive enough.
Moe continues. He says that's why we look so disjointed, with a stray passing and looking clueless in the final third. I think, you know, playing Giroud off the bench, and he is that super sub that can come on in that final third, can't he, and score you the winning goal. Mm. We seen it last week against Liverpool. Okay, well, that's it. Twitter questions. Thanks for that. And you can, like I said, @clockend_talk. You boys watch any other games this week?
Yeah, I watched everything.
Yeah, even I watched everything.
Okay, well, let's have a quick talk about Manchester United. What's your thoughts here, Tony, on them?
I think both of their games, I don't think they've been as convincing as the scoreline suggests. Both teams have folded after the second goal has gone in. There was a time after, I know United got the second on the 80th minute, if it was 1-1 on the 79th minute, I don't think anyone could have had any complaints. I don't think United are as strong as everyone thinks they are, or not at the moment anyway. They've had quite nice fixtures, and they've done the job. You can't criticise them for that. But I don't think they're the all-conquering team that people have painted them as already, because they've got a plus-8 goal difference after two games. As I said, Swansea may have created big gaps in their defence. And let's be honest, it's Swansea without their two top scorers from last year. Lloretti was standing on from the stand, watching on from the stands, and Sigurdsson was chilling in Liverpool. So you're looking at a team with probably Premier League goals between the whole 11 that started was probably less than 20. And they're creating massive holes in the Man United defence, both through the middle and wide. So I think that is still a shaky area. They're clearly frightening going forward because of the pace and power they have. But if you pin them back, then players, Lukaku will get isolated, and that pace and power takes out of the game. They've just not played a team that are good enough to pin them back yet. It'll be interesting to see what they do, because we all know Mourinho in big games does pin himself back. And then you'll see really how good they are, because Lukaku will have to hold the ball up, and that's really not one of his strengths, as everyone knows.
I could be wrong, but when I saw Martial come on, and what do you think? Do you think he's going to stay all year? Or are they going to try and sell him?
Nah, he'll stay.
He'll stay.
Mourinho loves a big squad. He probably won't be happy about it but this time next year. But the only thing, I mean, if he kicked up a fuss, he could probably get a move out of there because it's World Cup here. But I don't think he would, because of his age and probably how much he's earning and how much he cost them. Because they don't have to sell. They would want more than what they paid for him. And the fee was rising to sort of 60, 70 million. And no one's going to come and pay 80 million for Anthony Martial at this point in his career, when he was a sub pretty much most of last season and he's not started either game this season. So I would be very surprised if they go. And he's a great option for them off the bench as well.
Carl, what's your thoughts, mate? Manchester United.
Well, you can see from the plus-8 goal difference, they have an amazing attack. But yeah, agree with Tony here about the fact that the teams they've faced so far, you know, after the first, second goal, they crumple because they don't feel that they can hold back Man United anymore. You know, the floodgates open for them to score. They got some very nice play with Pogba and Lukaku at the minute. Matic is, it's looking to be a steal, you know, 40 million for that calibre of player. But as Tony said, they haven't faced the type of team to warrant them champions just yet.
Well, they got Leicester next weekend, so I don't think that won't be couldn't be too bad for them. But they've got a pretty easy couple of games their first run in, and when you look at when you look at Everton, they've got a tough start of the draw. Looking at Everton, they got pretty much the top four or five teams straight off the bat. So, what was your thoughts, Savvy, on Manchester United?
I think right now they look really solid. And the thing is, as Tony said, they haven't been tested yet. And I think it would have been interesting had that IU chance in, I think, first 5 minutes of the game. Had that gone in, they would be tested nicely, because Swansea looked very dangerous in the first half. They were really good. And what I like about Manchester United is they have strengthened where they needed the players. That's what I like about Mourinho. The only thing I like about him is that he gets what is needed. So, yeah, I think they look solid, but they will be tested. And I don't think they are that good as people are making them out.
Now, I didn't see the game, but a lot of people are already calling for Newcastle United will be a team struggling for relegation. They lost against their first game against the Spurs and then Huddersfield on the weekend. Did you see the game, Tony?
Yeah. They just didn't offer anything. It's strange because Benitez is genuinely a good manager. It's people criticise him, but because he's not done it at Real Madrid, or he's not. He was good at Liverpool, but not great. But looking at the level of the clubs, he's not met their expectations, but he's still a very good manager. It's weird. I don't know what he's really trying to do. It seems like he's sulking a bit because they haven't given him any money to spend, which was promised, or not nowhere near what he wanted. It shows them spending 5 million on a striker from Stoke that never played, that he's not been given what he wanted. But yeah, they were very flat. It was sort of, you couldn't see where the danger was. They never looked like, oh, you can't score against this team. They didn't look solid at the back. The midfield is just, there's nothing there. There was nothing there. I think they will strengthen. He'll get them a bit tighter once he knows what he's got to work with. But I think at the moment that Benitez is just sulking a bit.
And I have to give a shout out to my Australian mate, Aaron Mui. How good was he?
Good player. He is a good player. I mean, it's funny. I don't know if people know the story about how he ended up there. Man City brought the club he was at in Australia for $7 million, loaned him to Man City, and then sold him to Huddersfield for $10 million. So he was worth more than the club.
Yeah, exactly. It was Melbourne City, who used to be Melbourne Heart, but City come in and bought him. So yeah. Last night's game, Chelsea Tottenham, the curse at Wembley. Carl, did you see that game, mate?
No, I popped into a pub for a quick wee for about two seconds in Waterloo, and I saw all the Tottenham fans were already dejected. So I knew, it was going to be a good game. They just have that sort of, I don't know if the Tottenham team has a hex on them, for Wembley. They can't do it on the big stage. I mean, we know them to be bottlers. They can only put the pressure on. But
I like that.
First aid members or doctors, because then you can put pressure on. But yeah, that's about it.
When I was talking to you yesterday, Savvy, you were just about to tune into the game, weren't you?
Yeah, I saw the game. I think Chelsea were very lucky to win the game because Tottenham created a lot, and they were. I think Kane hit the post for once, and they had many chances to score. They just couldn't score. And Chelsea had, I think, hardly 3-4 chances, and they took them. I think for the goal, the second Alonso goal, I think Lloris did very badly, very poorly. So I think Tottenham were very unlucky on the day, and they were very convincing. Kane had so many shots and so many chances, but I think it was just wasn't their day.
Yeah. Any other good games that caught your eyes over the weekend, boys?
That was the game of the weekend for me, Chelsea-Tottenham, or Tottenham-Chelsea.
That was a good game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a good game. The Southampton-West Ham game was pretty entertaining. I only watched it when I got back, obviously, because I was driving up to Stoke when it was on. But
oh, yeah, that was 3-2. And, who opened? He got two goals, didn't he?
Yeah, and they were 10 men. West Ham were 10 men.
Hernandez, yeah. He got two goals. So that was good to see him get a couple of goals. And Southampton, they lost it in about, last minute or something, didn't they?
Yeah, 93rd minute penalty, which was probably a bit soft as well. Hmm. And I don't know if you would have got the same interviews over there or where are you in? If Savvy's in India or wherever you are. But the penalty taker who scored the 93rd minute penalty, as he was putting the ball down, the West Ham centre midfielder said, "Our keeper knows where you're going." So he changed his mind and went the other side. And obviously the keeper went where he was originally going to go.
Oh, I couldn't see that.
Okay, lads, well, we might call that a wrap. If anyone else got any add anything, who have we got this week coming up?
We've got Liverpool away on Sunday.
Liverpool, that's going to be a tough game. does anyone want to do some predictions?
10-0. I think we'll win because Alexis Sanchez and Koscielny will be back, so we will be more solid, in my opinion.
Carl?
I'm going to say a 3-3 thriller.
Yeah, I was going to go 2-2. I'm just not confident what I'm seeing at the moment. I'd be very... The last year when we played them, it was a pretty open, few goals scored, wasn't it? I think they beat us 3-4, wasn't it? But
3-1 last year.
3-1 early in the year, was it?
No, that was at the Emirates. They beat us 4-3.
Oh, 4-3.
Away.
Yeah.
Away, it was in around January. They beat us 3-1, but it was tighter than the 3-1 suggests.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw, but we'll see what happens. There's got to be a couple of changes, I suppose. He's got to get this back line sorted. Do we see any players coming in 10 days?
No.
Before the end of the window, yes. Not before the Liverpool game.
Yeah, okay. Righto, well, thanks guys. You can follow our blog at clockandtalk.blog, and you can follow us on Twitter at clockand_talk. We are the Clock and Talk. Thank you for listening. You can subscribe to our podcast at CastBox. Thanks, guys. See you next week.
Thank you. Thank you, Les. Thank you all. Thank you.